Hey guys, Eddie here with the Rental Boys podcast. In today's podcast, we'll be going over refund cancellation policy. We'll be going over what we do and what others in the industry does. Let's jump straight into the podcast.
Welcome to the Rental Boys podcast. Your host here, Xavier Kelly, and my partner.
What's up, guys? Eddie Salceda.
In our podcast, we talk about tips and tricks to help you along in your party rental business. Me and Eddie currently run a party rental business in the DFW area where we do a little bit less than $400,000 a year. We just started about a year and a half ago, and this podcast is really built for those who are trying to get started and grow in the industry.
Hey guys, it's Xavier here. Obviously, you talked to Eddie earlier, listened to Eddie earlier. So we're going to go over a refund policy. So here's a little bit about ours right now. I'm going to go over a little part of it, and Eddie's going to go over his part from his side. Let me pull this up real quick. Because one thing we've been doing since we've started this company, we don't offer refunds and cancellations. We tell all our customers at the beginning of calls. We have it on our quotes. We have it on our emails. We have it very prevalent. And if we even hear someone who might want to make a cancellation or think about cancellation, we try to deter them until they're actually ready. Now, we have a difference in stuff too as well. Like, we actually would go through and allow you to make changes up to your original deposit amount, but we don't actually give refunds on the deposits on that way too as well. So we really try to urge our customers to know that beforehand. So Eddie, what about from your side?
On the backside with the guys, I think we had like it's really like situational. Our overall goal is to get good customer service, and you know, I think it's, you know, should be like 50-50, so it should be fair on all aspects. I think we had like a customer the other day that said, hey, the wedding arch that y'all gave us didn't work, and would like a refund. So stuff like that. You know, we give, there's an item that's broken or what have you, we'll take care of them because, you know, that falls on us. But we did our, you know, once the item got back, we put it together and it worked just fine. There's a couple situations that happened like that, like PA system, went out and it worked just fine. Customers, you know, they don't know how to use the item, I guess. So, you know, I think on that situation, on the wedding arch, we, put it together. I think we took a picture and you know, got back to the customer and told them, hey, yeah, it worked just fine. But, you know, again, we're in the customer satisfaction. So, you know, a little $50 now, maybe it'll give them back the money. It'll pay off where, you know, they'll return the business or, you know, hey, this company's pretty cool, even though it was on the customer for not knowing how to do it properly. And actually, I was the one that helped her load the item. I told her if you had any issues with putting it together, please contact us and we'll help you through it. But never got that call. But regardless, stuff like that, we refunded the customer, but just let them know that, you know, everything was working on our side. So it just depends on the situation, like on the back, you know, we'll just take it case by case. But for the most part, I mean, even sometimes, you know, customers, we ran into a situation when we do like zone deliveries. So if, you know, there's a lot of deliveries in the same area, we try not to go back and forth to the same area. There was an instance last week where one of the drivers was like, hey, this one has a delivery time from 2 to 4. I'm going to go ahead and call them and see if I can go ahead and make the drop off right now versus coming back, you know, a later time. I gave him the green light to do that. The customer said, yeah, that's fine. It's perfect. And get a call back later. And they said, hey, can we get the refund for that specific time? Because if you want a specific time with us, you have to pay a fee. So I think we ended up refunding that customer, which the customer was happy that, you know, that they got the items there early. But so it just depends on the situations on the back. I think it's a little bit more flexible versus the front. But I think you want to go more in detail on how that goes.
Yeah. So on the front end, you really have to, once you get your policy, you have to put it every single where, put it on your emails, put it on your invoices, put it on the receipts. It'd be nice if you can verbally say it. For us too, as well, two biggest things that we've been working on this year, implemented, which we have implemented, we have contracts. So everyone knows and they sees on the contracts. We have, which contracts will be starting up in a little bit. We just got our system built to automatically send them. Probably starting up in February. We have recordings. So all our calls that we, when we take the, before we take the payment and stuff like that, or before we tell somebody, we have recording of them agreeing to, you know, that it's going to be non-refundable, the deposit, and any amount they make is going to go towards the deposit on there. So, and everyone understands. So this kind of helps us later on with chargeback. We'll talk about a little later. But another thing too, as well, like the one thing with the Arch thing, from obviously the Arch work, how it's supposed to, I believe too, to avoid refunds, this is one thing we just talked about too as well. And this also you can use for your people, is that we need to have, we need to get the information to them when they need it and stuff too as well. So like the Arch, I can see how if you never put this Arch together, or you're not a person to put something together, you might try to put the pieces in the wrong spot. And then it just looks weird, because you can technically put the legs to go the opposite way, and then it'll look weird. It still will function, but people don't understand that part. So one thing that I know that we're going to kind of work on too as well is kind of put information, I think, that's even from giving tutorials or having a tutorial of how to put it together, and we just automatically send it to them. So there's no excuses going forward. And doing stuff to really cover yourself at any point right now. Like, because even Eddie offered for them to, you know, if they needed help. But we've realized too, when someone's working with an event planner, that person might not be the person doing it. And I don't think, you know, you don't know if someone's actually listening as well as well. So now to cover ourselves, we have in our system, we track all the text messages, emails and stuff going around. We're going to send out, we're going to send out the information to that person so they have a link to how to put it together. It might automatically do it or put it on the order somewhere. So when Eddie says it and he comes back and they say that it didn't work and that we get it to work, we have our whole self, you know, put together, because that's the kind of thing too. It's kind of, I hate to say it, but you're going to have to baby a lot of your customers on that part, and to really protect yourself. Because at any point in time, all it takes is someone to say, oh, you didn't do this for me, and then you don't have this. So we've been putting these safeguards into our system automatically, so that we don't have this issue. We've been working on this, which has really helped us prevent like chargebacks. And a lot of people don't request refunds unless like we might do something wrong, or they think we did something wrong for the most part. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how we personally do it. Like, and we might not give refunds on cancellations, but we do if you go back and you reschedule in a month, then you'll get your event just changed to that month, because our prices do go up and as well. And also too, if you can't schedule back in a month, we'll just give you the credit for it, which lasts on the system to a year to after your event. Or if your event was canceled a year from when the credit was given. That's kind of something we give too as well. If you kind of want that policy and you want to look at it, just send us a message, and then we'll get that sent over to you. Another thing we're going to talk about is we're going to get into what others do. So we have a couple of competitors some national competitors that are very strict on their policies and stuff like that. A couple of things they do were like, if you reschedule, you have to reschedule in a certain timeline, they're not going to give you credit. If you cancel really close to your event, you're not going to get anything back money wise. You might be able to reschedule, but you won't get anything back. If the items are put on the truck, you're not getting anything back. But it's, you know, it sounds harsh and stuff, but I think me and Eddie kind of figured out why people do that for.
Yeah. So, I think a couple of situations where we've actually loaded the trucks, went out to the property, and you know, they forgot to inform us that, hey, our event's canceled. Can we move it to a different date? But then that also goes into, I guess, another policy. Customers will try to, you know, relay information to your drivers. So somewhere in your contract, you need to put on there what, like Xavier said, if you want to look at that, just reach out to us and we'll send you over the verbiage that we have on our contracts. But you know, they'll try to retell, hey, I told the driver that I needed a refund or needed to move the date. So they'll always try to put it on you. So you need to have something to kind of safeguard you on that. But for the most part, just, you know, on the refunds and changing the date, we tried to you know, reach out to people prior. And another thing that we do is with the second deposit amount, it's kind of like reinforces that, hey, we're going to go out and do this event. So it's another thing we kind of do to kind of deter that we don't waste manpower when we go out there. Because that's what it all is. It's manpower. So you're paying somebody to clean the items. And then once everything's clean, you're paying another person to load everything up. Once they get to that location, they're offloading. Well, for, you know, the instance where they want a refund, they'll have to come back and then offload everything. So it's all about money. You're going to have to pay somebody something. And I think that's a main reason why other companies, they don't offer refunds once it's loaded on the truck. Like I said, we're more into the situational kind of deal. So we'll hear out, you know, what our customers say as far as, you know, what happened and everything like that. And some, every once in a while, we may, you know, help them out. But for the most part, we just stay, like, pretty firm on our policy. And don't offer the refund, or we'll change the date and, you know, just not refund them the delivery costs. Yeah. So we'll make some compromise a little bit because, you know, in the end, we're here for the customer and we want to do good business. So, you know, if they give a little, then, you know, we give a little. So I think if we just meet halfway, I think if all the customers will be happy and it'll just really pull you out from the rest of the crowd, like Xavier was saying, like some of our competition, they're really strict on their stuff. You know, they're the type, it is what it is. And we're talking about like thousands of dollars here. So we try to be the nicer guy in the business and really help out where we can.
Yeah. I think that works for us. But one thing we have learned too as well is that you can still have policies that favor your business and still be nice. You would say from the experience we have.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I said, I mean, we have some flex on ours, but I mean, for the most of the feedback, they're pretty understandable.
Yeah.
There's people, like I said, they're like, hey, I know I made a boo-boo. Can you work with me? And we, you know, tell them, hey, we'll do this. And for the most part, everybody's happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think there was, I mean, you can even look at the reviews. For the most part, there was just, yeah, at a certain point in time when it got a little crazy.
Yeah.
But that's the only bad stuff that happened, like, I guess, for that month. But everything else since then, I mean, we've always kept our customers happy. And I think they feel it, too. I think that's the main thing, too. Like, if the customer can feel that, hey, I'm on your side, but also, you know, we got to take care of, you know, our employees, then I think they're more likely to understand why you do certain things. And sometimes you have to explain it to people too, because they don't understand. In their head, they're like, hey, I never got the stuff. I deserve all my money back. And it's not the case. Because, you know, a lot of missed opportunities when you do,
yeah,
you know, reserve stuff.
That's a big thing right there.
Yeah. Missed opportunities. It goes in the system and, you know, how we have it set up. It has a certain number of inventory. So if somebody calls and says, hey, I want this many items on this date, and that customer reserved all those items and it's not available, that's a missed opportunity. And so the customer just needs to, yeah, you know, give a little bit, because we lost, you know, yeah, on that too as well.
Yeah. And also too, just trying to explain that to our customers. Most customers don't understand that part. That because most customers might think you have abundance of stuff and you're not going to lose any money, because most people look at it from their side. But you really have to look into that too as well, and talk to them, explain that to them. One thing that I know when we went through, when we had a lot of COVID and people, because we were still open during COVID, we were working with churches, different stuff to bring them, you know, outside venues to help them, you know, with tents and stuff like that. We were doing that still. So a lot of the customers canceled on us. And the thing is that if we, because we've had to in the past cancel on a customer, I think like once or twice. When you cancel on the customer, they have no remorse for you anyway. Even if you give like all the money, they want more and stuff like that. And you got to understand that too as well. And you need to talk to your customers as well. Because if you were to cancel, it'll be bad. But if they cancel, it's fine. It should be understood. And sometimes that's why we kind of work on really putting our cancellation policies on everything. We'll have a lot of people who say, oh, I'm not ready to book yet because I don't have my stuff ready. A lot of people know our policies pretty well. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of effort on making sure of that, because we don't want anyone to say, oh, I didn't know. Because there's no way you didn't know. We're sending it through emails, sending it through texts. We're telling you on the phone. Yeah. We have recordings. We have contracts. You know, and this kind of goes to our next part, like the deposits and stuff like that. Like when someone makes a deposit and then they try to get a, they try to do a chargeback, because you will have some of these, especially if you're like us, where you're dealing with, you know, thousands and thousands of payments being brought in, you know, throughout the year. You know, this is kind of more my side right here, but a couple ways that we kind of implemented to avoid this, obviously telling the customer so they don't, you do chargebacks, avoiding the chargeback in whole, but some people still go through. And on those, we try to pull up information that we've sent them and they have confirmed or they have responded back, you know, acknowledging that that's our cancellation policy. Now, in effect, we have like, we have recordings of everybody now. And since we start recording, we've really had no chargebacks since then, because everyone knows the policy. There's no questions to it as well. And then like we, you know, there's no way to say you didn't know. And then now everything is on the sites. We have emails sent out that we're tracking. And the chargebacks that we have won, we have done this through basically the emails we have sent. We'll just upload our emails showing that where we put the policies at when we sent it to the person. You know, and we'll put any information we have on there too as well. So just, it kind of helped avoid it. The best way to avoid chargebacks is not to have them at all. And that's by getting that information in front of your customer. You're going to have some people who's going to be like, oh, I'm going to tell my bank. And then, you know, we were about to tell them like this call has been recorded right now. And if you've already stated that you understood the policy, we're just going to submit it. And that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, you can take whatever actions you need to be. We're not trying to, you know, be mean to any customers or what you call it. It's just that if we don't keep these policies, you know, we're not going to be able to supply them with the, you know, just the best service we possibly can. Cause when we say we're going to be there for you, we're going to be there. And it goes both ways. It's a partnership on both sides. Cause you have the right to tell them that you don't want to, that you don't want to do their own party. And technically there's nothing wrong with that. You just might not, I don't know, whatever reason it is, but you know, that looks bad on you. And the same thing looks bad on the customer. You guys have made an agreement for whatever reason. You know, you have to follow through with it. So that's one thing too, is that if you want them to keep their word, you got to keep your word on the stuff too as well. Mm-hmm. I think most of our actual refunds have really given back, any refunds we have given, that's because we didn't meet the standards that we hold to us, that we told them and that we had. And then we have a couple occasions where it's like the small amounts, or sometimes it does make a little more sense to spend $40 than worry about the fire on there. Because we do want to work on customers' lifetime, you know, keeping the customer as long as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, what we say like is like, the worst experience you had. I know we had one experience with very angry lady by the tent.
Oh, that, yeah. That's what I was actually thinking about when you said the worst.
Yeah. The worst lady with the tent. I'm going to give a brief thing, then I'm going to let Eddie kind of go more into it.
Yeah.
But basically from my side, this lady, because like, this is something you learn by going through and you update your policy as you get more and more experience going through as well. But we had this one lady, we were doing the tents. We set the tents up the day before. But we started realizing that people want to use these tents the day before, but they don't want to pay for it. They think it's just included on there. So these tents, because we just got them, took a little longer for us to put them up. And we're looking at 4 or 5 hours to put them up. But we were always did them the day before to put these big tents up. So we had a couple of people who were like really mad and stuff like that, even though it had nothing to do with the wedding, because their expectations, I believe, were not expressed. Yeah. Which we updated our policies on there to tell everybody the tent is not going to be put in use unless otherwise paid for the day of installation.
Yeah, I think that's also, I mean, we were just talking about assuming. What was the word you used?
Jargon.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, so a lot of times, you know, like Xavier said, you know, the customer's perceived expectation is one thing, and you know what the reality is another. And that goes back to education, because you know a lot of these people that are, you know, maybe it's their first time renting stuff, so in their mind they perceive, hey, this is what I'm expecting, and when they don't get that, it's already off to a bad start. So I think it's about education. As you start your business, you're going to learn these things really fast. You know, like one thing for instance, I think a couple of things like simple as like a toddler table, measurements, descriptions of things. So all that stuff, you know, the more that you can put out information you can put out there, because, you know, we've been in the business for a while, so we know certain things. But, you know, our customers that come in and they're making these orders, you know, they it's the first time they've ever done an order. So in their mind, they think, hey, this can fit or this will work, when in reality, it wouldn't work. But so that it all goes into the people that's taking the calls to gather all that information of what their image is, what they want. And then this comes in hand, you know, with upselling and, you know, giving them actually what they need. So it's just one of those things to look into, because a lot of these customers, like I said, they know what they want, but they actually don't know what they need. So the knowledge that you have will come in hand and giving them exactly what they need. So the party or the event goes successful and you get those 5-star reviews.
And also too, don't get caught because you get a big order and then that person's like, you know, the person's asked for a different cancellation or refund policy because of their event might be so big. Yeah. Just know that anyone's planning an event and they're going to be doing something big. If they're talking about canceling the event, they're probably not going to be doing the event anyway, mm-hmm. because they're still kind of want to get a price, a certain price or something like that. And they want to get it locked down, but also don't want to, you know, don't want to have the benefit, don't want to, you know, take the risk and stuff of doing it. So I would watch out with that, because you're going to do that. And more than not, we've seen if you ever alter your plan from someone, it usually backfires on you. So keep steady to your plan. Try not to chase the money. When you chase the money, they usually lead you to a hole with less money.
Yep.
And just follow your plans. Now it's one thing to create a policy where, you know, where you can, if you had a specific person and they were doing events every single week, and then 1 week they had to cancel. That's just business development that you might, you know, not so much break policy, might give them back their money or something like that. But you have to watch out though, because every time you make a decision, they know that you can do it.
Yeah, they're gonna expect it every time.
Yeah, so you have to really weigh your business development. But for new people, I just would not, because you have no experience what they're gonna do. Maybe for some time, especially during this time, some of your long term customers who rented with you, you know, 5 to 15 or more times, then you can create some leeway with them. You can have different contracts for them, because those are people that you built business with. You understand that. Know on there, and who knows, maybe it's not even giving the refund back, maybe it's you know making reservation where they don't have down payment. But that's something else about business development. But most of your people who are like that understand you're running the business, and they're not gonna do something to put you in a bad situation. So it's something you can give to them, but I wouldn't give to anyone on their first 2 or 3 rentals, because you know, you might think people tell us all the time.
Oh, yep.
They're going to do so many businesses.
So much business with you. I've gotten so many times. And then in the beginning, we're, you know, when we're first starting off, you know, obviously we want to be Johnny Appleseed and plant the seeds with every customer we can to have a long-term relationship. So, you know, there's a couple of times we did, you know, give discounts, and then they just never panned out. Never heard from them. And, you know, just looking back, wish we didn't do stuff like that. But yeah, you're going to have plenty of customers say, oh, we're going to do so much business with you, give me this price. And, you know, for the most part, you know, there's always somebody else that's willing to pay the price, you know, that you're offering. I think in our area, we're like the best price people. So, yeah. You know, they're obviously planning with us for a reason.
Yeah. And also, too, a lot of you have to realize your value, that it's just them, they might bring you money and stuff like that, or whatever else, other gigs and stuff like that. But you have the value, because they want to work with you for some reason. So you hold the value, either your price point, your service, you're more friendly, which we get some stuff where, you know, because we have some items on our stuff that are more expensive. People still work with us because we're more friendly than other places.
Yeah, we actually answer the call.
Yeah, we actually answer the phone. That's another thing. Answer your phone calls. But you really have to, you know, watch out for how you go about, you know, going through it and doing that, especially with big partners. But Just don't listen to people say they're going to give you a lot of business. The people that we've seen that gave us the most business, Mm-hmm. Like we had this one guy now, you know, he's already got planned out like a whole bunch of parties. When people have a lot of events, they send you all that stuff and they go with you. And it's a partnership. You know, he likes the service that we offer. And then we like his business because he works with us on a regular basis, consistency, and gets our, you know, we can kind of predict our money, especially during this time. It's hard to predict it. until we get into, you know, getting into the spring, which for most of you guys are going to start being a lot more busy. So I'll just void that on there. But, you know, like I said, before wrapping this up, if you can, you know, record your phone calls, get some type of contract that states that you're authorized for them to make this payment, and for you, and that they're going to not be refunded on this payment that they make. You know, talk to them, sit in front of them, send them an email, send them text, put it on the order forms, the invoices, as much places as possible. Because people will try to, you know, if you just stay on the phone, if you don't record it or anything like that, or have it anywhere, people will try to say you never told them or no, never told them. You can always have some way to look it up. I recommend anything you say to someone, you put it in writing, or if you're on the recording, you don't have to do anything, because anything you say or don't have proof that you said will be used against you.
Oh, yeah.
Say it's not clear, but you have to really protect yourself and also protect the value that you have, because you have customers who are doing and following your policies. It is unfair for them to go through and not have to follow, you know, if someone else is breaking the rule, especially most times the people who don't value you in a way that they should. And they also don't really care about your business in that part. And you want to partner with people who do. And any discounts, any leeway should be with people who have similar interests and who care about your business. But anything else, Eddie?
I think you pretty much hit it all right on the nose. It's pretty much how it is. I was going to say, but the only thing I like to elaborate, like, there's so many times, I mean, customers call and say, hey, I talked to Deborah, or they'll just say some random name and say, they said this. And there's sometimes I listen and I'm like, we don't have any employees that are named that. So they'll say anything. They'll say, you know, they'll say all sorts of crazy stuff. Like, hey, they said this. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. Like, I don't you know, for the most part, all our people, you know, you just got to be accountable for everybody. Like Xavier said, just recording has been a huge thing for us. Because, you know, when you're starting off, you know, the odds are stacked against you. You know, when you get chargebacks, we've lost a lot. And it's kind of nerve-wracking, especially knowing that the hard work that you put in to do the event, and you're having to give them back their money because you don't have any proof to show them that, hey, either the event was completed or they canceled. And, you know, one thing that I've learned over the years is working in the, you know, the customer service industry, customers are going to say anything that they want to get their way. You know, they're gonna say they never got the items, or that we, you know, unauthorized charges. Even with the stuff that we have in place to kind of protect us, you know, the recordings, the contracts, they're still gonna try and get back that money. So just do everything you can to protect yourself, because, you know, the more that you have to show that they've gotten everything, or you put it in front of them that they could see or verbally hear, the more likely that you won't have to suffer the money loss of returning back that money. Because, you know, in the end, you know, it's a business, there's overhead, and it really hurts, you know, when $500, you know, $1,200, $2,500, you know, dollars is having to be returned to a customer. And so you just protect yourself, have fun with it. You're going to learn as you go, you know, things and tricks, what to do. That way you won't have these headaches. But for the most part, just have some kind of contract or, you know, recording. That way you won't have to deal with this. And trust me, it's well worth the investment, because you're going to run into this issue a lot. And we've ran, I don't know how many thousands of dollars we had to return, because in the beginning, when we originally started off, we didn't have anything like this. We just, you know, just told the customer or let them know what was, you know, what the, our policy is. But in the end, just because you told the customer, when you tell your you know, credit card processing company, hey, I told the customer, I'm like, okay, where's your proof? So you're going to have some kind of concrete proof to show them that, hey, this is what I sent them, or this is what was said. So just protect yourself, have fun growing the business. And yeah, I think you'll go very far.
Thank you guys for listening to the Rental Boys podcast. If you haven't already, please drop a review for us. You know, we would love to hear from you. And I think somewhere on here, you can leave messages, you know, hit that up too as well, and subscribe and come back for more. We'll see you guys in the next episode.